been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday. It is the November the 4th live edition of the Best Stocks Now show. And Barry, we've got a split market here. So far, we just surged. I don't know what it was, but something just surged. The NASDAQ, it's got to be something in the NASDAQ that's helping us big time here today, or several in the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ is now up 100 points. It started off real slow. It was up about 30, and then something took off. I know Facebook, actually Meta, the artist formerly known as Facebook, is having a big day. It must have been your article. The S&P all of a sudden is up 16, 4676, and that's a significant number because it is a new all-time high, and of course the NASDAQ is just 93 points away now from 16,000. It's at 15,908. The Dow is down 18 points, however, to 36,138. Not much happening over at the Dow today. Russell 2000's up a half a percent today, 11 points. Crude oil is back on the march higher. That means higher gas prices down the road, 82.69 today on crude oil. That's up $1.83. Gold must have liked what Jay Powell said yesterday. It's up $31 per ounce today to $17.95.
Yeah, about to hit that 1800 ceiling again, and then it'll probably drop back down a bit. It's been
and silver's hitting the 24 ceiling. It's at 23.99. It's up 76 cents today. What's the bond market doing after Powell yesterday? Nothing.
Right.
It's down 2 basis points, 1.57. So virtually no reaction at all to the Fed. Bitcoin is up 600 to 62.328. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and chartered financial analyst Barry Kite, also with Gunderson Capital Management. We had the reaction yesterday. I think it came in pretty much kind of in between what you said and what I said. I said they're going to announce a taper, and they pretty much did. I mean, they're going to start in November. This is November, so I don't know what day, but they will begin to taper back their asset purchases. And haven't they mostly been buying bonds?
Right. Yeah, they're going to reduce some mortgage, so point is, people are like, what is tapering, right? Well, they're still purchasing, right? So it's still a net purchase. They're reducing the amount that they're purchasing. And so they're going to, I think they're reducing some mortgage bond purchases that they're making, and they're also reducing their treasury bonds purchases. But, you know, it's still accommodative policy. It's just less accommodative. It's, it's kind of a misnomer in the fact that they're, no longer purchasing. And so, to me, they must have signaled very well in terms of the market reaction, like you said, especially in the bond market, was pretty much, non-existent. So, in my book, they're doing, like the Fed or not, you get arguments on both sides of the political aisle, but, some in favor, some in not, but, they're navigating this seems to be well so far. Of course, there's a lot left to do, but we'll see how the playbook plays out. But.
Yeah. And I do think that they've created some pretty massive bubbles out there that are going to burst. We can
how
say
do you
that
deflate
the
them, right? You got to deflate them. Are we going to pop them, right? Or are we going to, are we slowly letting the air out? We'll see, right?
We do know that the stock market liked what it heard yesterday. So obviously what he said leaned towards dovish. He looked a little bit like a deer in the headlights to me. And someone else commented on that, that he's a little bit worried about inflation, I think.
And he's not, I mean, he, my take is that he's never really done these press conferences well, right? I mean, he's made a few missteps, in front of the cameras over time. And it's a new thing to a lot of these, to the Fed in general taking these questions, but he always scares me. He's much better to me in the statement. He's you never know what you're going to get to me in the Q&A. He didn't blow it yesterday, so I'm glad glad of that. And who knows if he's going to be empowered? That's my biggest kind of take.
The bottom line is the market melted up once it digested what he said and closed at new all-time highs. And the NASDAQ is following on today. So I always just look at what the market reaction is. It doesn't matter what all the pundits say. The market liked what it heard, which tells me he was very, very dovish. The yield curve steepened as the Fed matches tapering expectations. We have had quite a big steepening of the yield curve here recently, and we put that chart on both the 10-year versus the 3-month and the 10-year versus the 2-year each week in the newsletter with my technical analysis. Now, we're going to find out, I think, later today, maybe tomorrow, whether or not the Bank of England will be the first post-pandemic rate hike. And, of course, the Fed, no time soon will there be a rate hike. Maybe midway through next year, I guess. This is where most people are at. And the other one is the ECB. They have no rate hikes forecast ever. I don't know. They make it sound.
They seem like they're going to be, to me, they're, kind of the Japanish, right, from the standpoint of they just have, it's an aging population, right? They've got a lot of the same difficult demographic issues that that Japan had, right, starting out,
yes,
back in early 2000s. So that's, you've got a conglomerate of countries, right? It's way different than, the United States in terms of states. These are all independent nations,
right,
that see themselves as national, from a national standpoint, right? We don't call ourselves, South Carolinians or Alabamians, right? It's
right.
Americans versus, you're German, you're French.
Yes.
So it's a much different dynamic in my book.
Yes. Now, I played a little guitar in junior high and high school, but I should have started writing songs. Sony is in talks to buy Bruce Springsteen's recorded music catalog, $330 to $415 million.
Wow.
For the boss. Well, the boss of New Jersey, $330 to $415 million for his catalog of music. That's the latest development in major labels paying large sums to get the rights to albums back after many artists received such rights as concessions in the 1980s and 90s. Compact disc boom. That's a lot of dough. Of course, he probably wants to do that deal before capital gains taxes go up. What, I don't know. Would you have any cost basis in your song catalog?
Yeah,
I guess not.
It's probably. My guess is that intellectual property has been, depreciated over time by this point. If you think about, you think about some of those albums. I'm sure some accountants figured that out, and it's probably, depreciated over time. It's the whole royalty stream. To me, it's always been an interesting business. We had a music management group at my old firm in Nashville, and it was it's a very, very interesting business, and it's very nuanced.
A lot.
Right.
The other thing we could have started doing here several years ago was putting some of our favorite little nursery rhyme songs, like "The Wheels on the Bus Go Round and Round," making videos of them for YouTube. Coco Melon, Blackstone, a company we own, BX, is nearing a $3 billion deal, which makes Springsteen's money look like pocket change. The maker of Coco Melon, the company's name is Moonbug, Moon Bug, and they are looking at a $3 billion buyout. So there's obviously that's a pretty good market to have those little kids watching that. And, you know, in between they put in Skittles ads and Barbie ads and the Mattel ads and whatever else to get the little kids going to their parents. So when they go to Walmart or Target, see, I saw that on Cocoa Melon, Mom. That's what I want. $3 billion for Cocoa Melon. Okay, when we come back, you know, I don't know what it is, but if I thought about, of all the stocks I looked at yesterday, the last stock I would probably buy is the stock that Kathy Wood is buying. I guess we're just at opposite ends of the spectrum. What is she buying after yesterday's move? We'll talk about that when we come back. And I mean, a lot more. We got just loaded today. What is Barclays' top pick? I don't know. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. A stock that I gave up on about maybe 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, and it's just gotten worse and worse and worse ever since, and its competitors in the industry. And like yesterday was just a horrible, horrible earnings report, yet Kathy Woods is scooping up a lot of stock yesterday. She bought it when it was 9% down during the day. After her buy, it went down another 9%. Now, I don't agree with Jim Cramer all that often, but definitely I'm more on his side with most things than I am with Kathy Wood. Meanwhile, CNBC pundit Jim Cramer stated in a tweet, "I don't think I would ever own Zillow stock again." After listening to that miserable, arrogant, clueless conference call last night. He called it the benchmark of suboptimal thinking. Well, I would agree with Jim Cramer on that. Now, Zillow and Redfin were, transformational companies when they first came out. The real estate industry kind of had a monopoly. They had the listings, right, that we couldn't see. What do you call those? The
MLS. MLS. Yeah.
And here comes Zillow and Redfin, which brought a lot more transparency to the entire industry. And certainly help buyers and sellers and whatnot. But since then, you know, they just have been very, very, very inconsistent with their earnings. And I think they're stinkers. But Kathy Wood's flagship ARK Innovation Fund, ARKK, which trades very much in lockstep with Tesla, because Tesla is such a large position in her portfolio, she dipped in and scooped up over 288,000 shares of struggling real estate platform Zillow. Wood revealed in her daily voluntary disclosure of trades that she bought Zillow shares as they fell more than 9% yesterday. However, the move has yet to work out so far, as Z lost another 18.7% after her tweet. Wood's purchase definitely went against the crowd. Evercore downgraded Zillow from outperform to inline, while BTIG demoted the stock to neutral from a buy. She has suffered another $42 million of outflows over the past month, even as the fund share price has recovered. She still has a big short interest, too, against her her stock-picking style, I guess. Barclays calls Alibaba a top pick in new Chinese tech coverage. realm. Okay, where are you, Barry, these days on, you know, we owned a lot of Chinese stocks at one time.
I think it's, you know, I mean, you know, public opinion wise, right? You know, it's certainly, it's not, it, to me, it's not, you know, you could make a similar argument that we've made, say, to something like Facebook, right? Where, you know, public sentiment, obviously, we're down on, you know, our thought process on China is down. So you could make the fact, an argument that it's undervalued. But, I mean, to me, that the risks from a political level, right, from a, you know, national and world, you know, level in terms of, you know, their unpredictability, the fact that they could just go in and, you know, basically revalue companies however they feel like it based on, you know, regulation, you know, it almost, you've got some value there, but there's a huge amount of risk. And it's just, you know, I don't, at this point, it's almost uninvestable, at least from a portfolio standpoint.
I agree.
Right?
Yep.
You know, you know, all of our individual listeners, individual, you know, clients, right? You can kind of make your own judgment on an individual portfolio basis, but you know, at the us doing our due diligence, right, it's just it's a tough call, and if you're going to do it, you've got to, you know, kind of dip your toe slowly. Certainly don't envision us where we were, you know, for instance, in some, you know, holding a handful of those names all at one time. But
yeah, now if you look at the valuation on the surface, it's trading at just 15 times forward earnings,
right,
with a 16% growth rate. So it's trading at a discount to its growth rate. And on the surface, you could call it one of the cheapest mega cap internet technology stocks in the entire world. But on the other hand, you've got President Xi, who at any time he wants could crush the company. And, you know, I just backed off when I saw the heavy hand of communism coming down on the poor Chinese people and them playing those games. It really, to me, it's just and we made a lot of money last year.
Right.
It was part of our big gains in the market coming out of COVID. But something changed there, you know, early this year, and I can't see ever going back into a Chinese stock. That's just me. But Barclays calls Alibaba a top pick in the new Chinese. They're just now starting to pick up coverage on Chinese tech stocks.
Yeah, and if I was just investing in China only, right, Alibaba would be on my, you know, the top of my list in terms of valuation where they're at. But we have a much larger opportunity set that we can invest in. So
yeah,
you know,
there's
we
6,
choose other lanes
to choose from.
Yeah, we choose other lanes to dabble in, if you will. So
Ford is one of the best charts in the entire market. It has a big, big smile like chart, which we call a saucer pattern. It broke out about 5 or 6 days ago. Obviously, at a P.E. ratio of 10 versus Tesla's P.E. ratio of 241, you're buying 27 years into the future of Tesla. And, you know, Ford, you're buying into the next year or two of growth, right? It's a heck of a lot cheaper stock. And it's going to be a big player in the electric vehicle industry. I mean, they've got a giant lineup of EVs coming out. Their sales rose 12.3% month over month in October, led by SUVs. Their electric vehicle sales were up 195% year over year. So, you know, we don't own Ford, but, you know, I wouldn't have a hard time, especially in the dividend portfolio, taking a long look at Ford. It has a 2.1% dividend yield right now, and it has a fantastic stock chart. It's ranked number 139 overall out of 6,000. And the momentum grade, the relative strength right now, is 95 on a scale of 1 to 99. So it's hard to just be tempted. I mean, you're going to buy a dividend payer like IBM with no growth, or we say this all the time, AT&T with no growth. At least Ford's got a pretty bright future ahead of them. Now, we do own, by disclosure, we own the Ford bond, which
exactly.
I think was a pretty good pickup because, you know, I mean, at one time, was it Ford? No, it was GM that actually defaulted on bonds. You know, that was the one of the last big defaults.
coming out of 08, 09, I believe.
Yeah, so we got a pretty good yield on that Ford bond, and they seem to be going in the right direction with the bond and the stock. We do not own the stock. Okay, when we come back, I've got a little biotech to talk about, some electric vehicle stocks to talk about, and our featured stocks of the day. This is Bill Gunderson, Barry Keisen. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Boy, the NASDAQ has just exploded to the upside. And, you know, definitely these days our portfolios track the NASDAQ more than they do the Dow. And, boy, I'll tell you what, the NASDAQ is just on fire. I'm just going to do a quick little screen here and see what it is that's leading. I see a big move out of Amazon. Right now, and I know yesterday AMD broke out. I haven't looked at it today. And it's on the verge of a breakout to an all-time high. Yesterday it broke out to a new all-time high, AMD did. Qualcomm. That is weird.
Yeah, Qualcomm. I think they have some either. I wanted to say that. I believe they were reporting.
They did. They reported earnings. That was in the stock that looks to be the biggest mover here so far. NVIDIA is just surging. And that is one of our biggest positions. It's up 7.3% right now. And that and Qualcomm seem to be the two big stocks really moving the NASDAQ here today. Adobe's also having a good day. I'll tell you what, NVIDIA is just...
The metaverse.
Well, NVIDIA's got exposure to Bitcoin. It's got exposure to the gaming companies. And two of the gamers reported good earnings today, Electronic Arts and Take-Two. Or one of them did. Of course, NVIDIA's got big exposure there, and they have exposure to the metaverse, like you say. So NVIDIA, there's no stopping NVIDIA right now. And believe it or not, it pays a small dividend, so it qualified. We own it not only in our premier growth portfolio, but in our dividend and growth portfolio. Now, on the other hand, Wayfair... They're reporting that they saw a big drop in revenue as the big lift they got from the pandemic when, you know, basically all we could do was either buy online or go to Walmart or Target. Wayfair says that the sugar high is gone, but I'm looking at their two big competitors. Amazon's having a terrific day and actually one of the best charts in the entire market. And just exploding here, rising in rank is Overstock.com, OSTK. It is a fresh breakout on Overstock.com. So I don't know. Wayfair must not, they're blaming it on the wearing off of the pandemic boost they got. But the other companies that compete with them seem to be having that same problem.
Well, yeah, and that's some of the argument that I've heard, for some of these commodity prices, right, some of the inflation to kind of come down is that people are going to stop buying goods, right, and start buying services. So that's why, who knows how that's going to,
Wayfair tends to sell bigger size product, couches, and, shipping costs are going higher. The input costs are going higher, and maybe they're having a problem with the supply chain, too. Okay, what's a really crappy company do when they can't grow anymore besides raising their dividend? They start breaking it up and spinning companies off of it. Guess who's the latest today? IBM spinning off Kyndryl, KD. Well, they've ran out of options. They've got to do something to give shareholder return. So you've got a brand new stock today, KD, and if you're wondering where it came from, It's kind of the service arm of, it's a pretty small company, $6.4 billion. But we'll keep our eye on it. I mean, I added it to the app, but that is one of the strategies. They start breaking the company up and
financial
selling off.
Engineering at its
yes,
best.
Exactly. Now, we saw recently the very first car come off the line at Lucid Motors. Now, Fisker is on track for its first vehicle launch, and they feel good about the cash burn. But let's do a little history on Fisker. I had a client in San Diego that owned the local Cadillac dealership, right? Like the original Cadillac dealership in San Diego. And he took on the Fisker. This was several years ago. He got the Fisker dealership. And they were nice little sporty sports cars and everything, but that dealership didn't last very long, his little Fisker showroom, because either Fisker was too soon to the game or they were too high priced. So it's a little misleading saying the first vehicle is coming off the line. He's had vehicles before, but, you know, we'll keep our eye on it. It's developing the car with Foxconn in an Ohio plant, FSR, which tends to be, it's kind of a Ferrari. I mean, last go around it was kind of a Ferrari looking little car. It's already a $5 billion company without a car yet, but it's you know, it's about $17 a share. We'll keep our eye on Fisker, FSR. They feel okay about the cash burn. Remember the early days when Musk, I mean, Musk was on the ropes with the cash burn.
That was the danger. That was the payoff danger. You know, and that's why when they finally, what I thought was the most unique about them, and that's where you can look at the pivot point for their stock, it's when they finally showed, you know, not only positive EPS earnings, right? But they also showed positive cash flow in the same quarter. Usually,
right.
You know, you can manipulate earnings and have positive earnings with no cash. But he did both, which took a lot of that credit risk on the downside risk in terms of it, you know, the stock going to zero off the table. And that's, you know, whenever it shot to the moon from there, really.
Yeah. So how do you solve the shortage of truck driver problem? Well, too simple. That's another big Kathy Wood stock, TSP. They gave an update on their autonomous truck developments. Okay,
that's the only way.
All the truck drivers will be named Otto. You know, OTTO, and there will be nobody at the wheel. You'd think that would really hurt, like, Travel Centers of America and, you know, all these big, but I suppose there will still be plenty of drivers. Too Simple has received 6,875 truck orders to date and engaged with a major brokerage customer. That's another big Kathy Woodstock, but you know what? That thing got up to 80. On just hype. Then it got cut clear to 27 in a few months, and now it's settled in the $40 area. It's an $8.3 billion company. I think at this point in time, you know, Tesla obviously is the play. Number two's got to be Lucid Motors. Or you buy the ETF, which is DRIV, and there may even be some other ETFs out there that where you get exposure to all of them, because they're not all going to be big winners. There's going to be several that just don't make it, like Fisker didn't make it the first time around. Okay, you heard that the Bank of England did not raise interest rates.
Yeah, surprisingly enough, they maintained and held rates at 0.1%.
Okay.
And of course, you know, it's very surprising because you talk about our cost pressures, right? They've had a lot of consumer cost pressures there, and they're going to stand pat until they get some better employment numbers, it looks
all
like.
All right.
We'll
okay,
see.
Here's my biotech of the day, Karuna Therapeutics, KRTX, which is hitting $158 per share today. A very good stock chart. Of course, you know, this is even riskier than electric vehicles. At least the electric vehicles will have a product at some point in time. These companies could never have a product for sale. But Karuna Therapeutics has a very promising, it's a schizophrenia drug that helps with that horrible disease, KRTX. I think I had to add it to the app. No, it's in the app. It showed up on my A-plus momentum list. I did a little dive into it. That's what I like about Seeking Alpha. Somebody's written an article about it, right? On almost every stock out there. And there were several on Karuna Therapeutics. And, you know, they obviously, just judging by the stock, the action in the stock, they've had promising results in phase two. The critical part is when they get into the phase three trials. We had a stock recently that had promising phase two results. And then all of a sudden they came out with an announcement that it missed and the stock was down 80% in one day. And luckily we owned it in our little emerging growth portfolio. It was only a 4% position. It still hurts. That's the risk you take with the biotechs. And, of course, you can buy some targeted biotech ETFs and really spread the risk out. But this Karuna is running pretty hot right now, KRTX. Now, what stocks are jumping off the page at us today? This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Boy, we're just having a huge day here at Gunderson Capital. I got a big smile on my face. You know, we get up earlier than the rest, do a lot of research, and look at a lot of stocks during the day. And, you know, the Best Stocks Now app is invaluable in at least pointing me in the right direction. Every day, whether it be the sectors, the asset classes, or the individual stocks, beststocksnowapp.com. Well, I'm going to there's two stinkers that stand out, okay? First one, the quickest stock to ever make it into the S&P 500 that I can remember was Moderna, which hit $498. I question why they put it in the S&P 500 because it's obvious that, you know, once the vaccine stuff wears off, the sugar high, what do they have after that? The stock's getting whacked today. It's down $59 per share, down 17%, and it is a member of the S&P 500. So that's a stinker. The other stinker I would call would be Roku, which we owned a long time ago, and then I saw all the competition. Roku, that's a big one over at Kathy Wood's house. I think she still owns it. I mean, it was like one of her largest positions. Roku is getting smacked today, too, on uninspiring earnings report. One of the few during this earnings season, you've had 83% of the companies beat earnings. So if you don't beat earnings in this quarter, you're one of the 15% or so that are on the stinker category. And then the two stocks that jump off the page. How can SQM not jump off the page? Look at that unbelievable move today. One of our largest positions, this is the Chilean lithium fertilizer, iodine, industrial chemicals, and other products sold worldwide. You do have a little added risk there because it is headquartered in Chile. But that stock is exploding to the upside, along with other lithium stocks. And, of course, you have that lithium ETF, which is LIT. And it's breaking out to new all-time highs. I have a friend that actually created that index and has a piece of that ETF.
What surprises me about SQM is the lack of coverage. The last Seeking Alpha
article.
Did
we write it?
Well, no, we didn't. We were putting one together, but it was moving fast. It was moving fast, and so we ended up not writing it because I think it went up about 15% while we were writing it. But the last article written was September 16th, and literally the last news on the stock is from September 13th.
That's really weird.
One that's under the radar.
Totally under the radar, undercovered. I won't say anything about whether we might be writing it up soon or not. It's certainly a good thought, and we are lining up some more. We just had the what was our last article?
Meta. Yeah, that's why you couldn't think of it because they changed the name in the middle of writing it.
I want to say that we had the first article research out on the stock since it changed its name.
I think so. Yeah, we were literally writing it, and they had a name change, which requires a bit of editing after.
Yeah, to go through and was it the day after Halloween or something?
that they changed their name exactly. Yeah,
because you know in Hebrew, meta means dead, or there's a word that sounds just like it that means dead. So enter the world of the dead, the metaverse. Anyways, okay, and then SQM, and then another one that really sticks out, and how can you not give kudos to NVIDIA today? You know, NVIDIA went through quite a period of very dull performance, and then all of a sudden, here's a stock that was $4 in 2000. I think Kathy Wood should hire me. They need to roll that arc. You know what? I don't know. Look, we'll see. We'll see where we're at the end of the year. You know, and since over the last 2.5-3 years since I started those portfolios for Seeking Alpha, NVIDIA is just rocking and rolling again today. It's up 22 points, 8.3%. You know, NVIDIA, there may be no stopping it as it heads towards a trillion. It's $715 billion. So it's 3/4 of the way to a trillion. We may have several trillion-dollar companies before too long. Of course, Tesla just recently joined the trillion-dollar club, which is a very exclusive club. Facebook right now is just $66 billion away from the trillion-dollar club. Microsoft is $2.5 trillion. I mean, it's there to stay. And Apple, which dukes it out with Microsoft every day, is at $2.5 trillion. What's the fourth one? Maybe that's all of the trillion-dollar babies. I know the Saudi Arabia, I think it's Aramco or something, is also a trillion-dollar company. A lot of T's, a lot of trillions out there these days. All right, well, you know what? I'm going to polish off. I did a lot of buying this week. I've got a little more to do today. You wait till you see the newsletter this week. We've really exploded here. We've had a good run here, and I'll be updating the macro outlook because we're going to have about 75% of these earnings in the books now. So we'll have a much better look at next year and the year after that. And as always, it changes from week to week. So if you want to get the newsletter, 2 free weeks, it only goes to clients and subscribers and very close friends and family. You know, that's it. But you get 2 free weeks by going to GundersonCapital.com. You can look at the portfolios and how they're doing, what's in them, what we bought this past week, several new buys. There's going to be some more new buys today. And, of course, you know, look, if you just want to bypass it, we have had so much money flow into our firm here recently, which it always has ever since I started in 2006, you know. You can just go right to the phone and give us a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. And don't forget, I'm always looking in that rearview mirror, too, because there are definitely some bubbles here that continue to get bigger and bigger and bigger. You got to have some defense when the time comes. 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.